What a great privilege it is to worship the Lord together as we exalt the name of Jesus. He is worthy of our praise, and what a privilege it is to be able to share with you today during this time of mission emphasis, to be able to challenge you in the areas of ministry and areas of missions. My name is Chuck Pawsley. I'm the state representative for the Ohio Association of Regular Baptist Churches. My wife, Linda, raise your hand if you will out there. She always comes with me, and we've been married 45 years, 46 years in the month of June. So it's hard to believe it's been that long, but it has. And God has blessed us with four children, three sons and a daughter. Two of our sons live in Iowa. One of our sons lives here in Ohio, and our daughter lives in Houston, Texas. I give all praise to God that two of our sons are pastors, one here in Ohio and one in Iowa. One of our sons is the CEO of an amusement park in northwest Iowa. And our daughter is actually a teacher in Houston, Texas. And we have eight grandchildren. We just love our grandkids to death. When we go on vacation, we go to visit our grandchildren. And we have six granddaughters and two grandsons. They range from ages 8 to 17, and they're growing up quickly. And we sure enjoy our grandchildren. I was in pastoral ministry for 39 years, pastored here in Ohio at Grace Baptist in Troy. God moved us to Des Moines, Iowa. We pastored a church there for 13 years. And then the last 9 years of our ministry, we were in Avon Park, Florida. Thoroughly enjoyed our ministry in the church in Avon Park. And then in 2017, God directed us to come back to Ohio to serve in the Ohio Fellowship, and we're very thankful to be here. For some of you who don't know anything about us, we are a group of Baptist churches. There are 135 of us. That are all over the state of Ohio. Our fellowship began in 1928. You think about that, 95 years ago, we began as a fellowship of churches. We've remained true to the Word of God. We've had our bumps along the way, but we have faithful pastors and faithful wives and faithful church people who are in attendance at our churches. Your church right here at Shawnee Hills is a part of the fellowship. And we're so thankful for your ministry in our lives. Your pastor is actually on our council. He's the chairman of the council this year. Pastor Culver was the chairman in days past. And so your pastor today, Pastor McCune, is really my boss. And so I just bow to him every time I see him. And I appreciate his ministry so much, so much. I do want to mention to you that we are in a role of revitalization for many of our churches in Ohio. I would say that 60% of our churches need to be revitalized, and we are challenged by that because we've had some churches close in the last 6 years. Sad to say that has happened, but yet as we have been able to help them close their ministries, the money that's been provided by those churches has been put into a legacy fund, and we're able to help churches revitalize and establish new churches. So that's very, very encouraging. I did want to mention to you that we're also in need of pastors. We're in need of youth pastors. We have 14 churches right now without pastors. That varies continually. Last year we had 17 new pastors and associates come into the state. The year before that, 21. The year before that, 24. So there's always a changeover. Even though I can say this, pastors are staying longer, and that's encouraging. But we need pastors. Our resumes are very limited right now. That's just not in our fellowship here in Ohio, but it's true around the country. And we just need new pastors, whether they be getting out of seminary or mid-age or older. We can use any of you to minister to our churches. So I'd like to encourage you to do that. I also need right now three youth pastors, family ministry pastors. Three of our churches are looking, and we don't have a lot of those available on resume, but maybe one of you is looking towards that. We have opportunities galore to be able to get you involved in our churches, in our ministry, and we would count it a privilege to do that. I do want to remind you also that in October 16 through 18, it's our annual meeting for our Fellowship of Churches. This year it's going to be at Grace Baptist Church in Cedarville. And so it's close by. It is just down the block from many of you who are in the school. It's just down a few miles from the people here at the church. And I just want you to know that our state conference is just not for pastors and wives, but it is open to all of you. We would like to invite you to come. It's Monday through Wednesday morning. You can come for the whole conference or part of the conference, but we'd like to make it make you a welcome friend to come share with us. We have our guest speakers this year are Jeremy Kimball. Dr. Kimball is going to be with us. I think you know who he is. You probably have him in classes. And also Dr. Andy Giesman will be with us. And you will enjoy both these men's ministries. There's great fellowship, great learning from the Word, good opportunities to be in seminars and to learn together. But I'd like to personally invite you to come October 16 to 18 at Grace Baptist Church for our state meeting. And if you are interested in a pastoral ministry, if you're interested in a youth pastor ministry, come see me. Would you do that today? Don't neglect just walking by me. Come and see me, if you will, because I'd love to talk with you, and I'd love to have you encourage you to send your resume to me. It's really easy to send an email to me. It's chuckpausley@oarbc.org. Real simple. We made it simple for you, so make sure you do that. And then when you stop by our booth out by the missionary area, we'd like to be able to talk with you there. We have a link to pass out to you, information about our fellowship, our quarterly paper. It is always a delight to be able to see what God is doing in our churches. You can read about that. Plus, Pastor McCune has two articles that are in this current application of the link, and you'd like to see what he has to say. And also his picture is there. If you want to see his picture, it is there. Well, I just want to mention one more thing about the OARBC. If you'll notice down below, it says our theme for our fellowship, our purpose statement, is spreading the gospel in Ohio through healthy churches. If you're a part of this church, Shawnee Hills, it is also your theme, your purpose statement for the fellowship, that of spreading the gospel in Ohio through healthy churches. What a privilege it is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that you heard the gospel? Aren't you thankful that someone shared with you through your home life or maybe your church life or some co-worker, someone that you came in contact with, but someone shared the gospel with you that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried, and that he arose again? That's the good news. And we as a fellowship are taking the opportunity to remind ourselves and to challenge ourselves. That's why we're here. We're here to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to see lives changed, to see lives changed for the glory of God. And we get to do that right here in Ohio. That's what it's all about, Ohio. It's the heart of everything. And I just want to encourage you that while you're in Ohio, help us to spread that gospel that Jesus Christ saves and that he satisfies. And then a reminder to you, we need healthy churches. You'd realize this, that healthy churches, we're not talking about people or churches about their size. It doesn't matter the size to be healthy. It doesn't matter when it comes to the style of ministry, the programs that are there. That doesn't determine health. That isn't where it's at. It's not even the successes of the church. And Shawnee Hills has seen many successes in the ministry. Successes does not determine health. But what does? It's soundness, being sound, standing firm upon the Word of God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through our lives. I say this to you, a healthy church is all about people. People like you, and me. and that we are the ones that make the health in the church. As we live and breathe, that Jesus Christ might be our priority, that we might be involved in the Word of God, and that we might be involved together by the Holy Spirit working through us so that we can reach our world right now, Ohio, for Jesus Christ to His glory. I want to share for a few minutes this morning. Our time is quickly going by. And I want you to look with me at some thoughts about Christian, take the long view. Christian, take the long view. Again, it's all about people. And a healthy church full of God's people will in turn take time to impact the world for Jesus Christ by sharing the gospel throughout the world. I wonder, is God at work in your life right now? I wonder if you are willing to impact the world for Jesus Christ. There may be men and women here who are looking towards missions, who are just saying, God, what do you want for my life? I want to encourage you to be open. Be willing. Don't say no. Don't say, I can't do that. Just take time to say, God, what do you want to do in my life? Because that's where it's at. But we realize that you need to be doing it at home. We've talked about that during our Sunday school hour. We'll talk about that more as we talk through the scriptures today. But right now, we need to be missionaries right here. So the challenge for us is that God wants to use people, and He uses people like you and me. I like that today. Thankful for that today. I remember back when I responded to Jesus Christ and saying, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want. I was at camp at Bass Lake in Winnebago, Minnesota, many, many years ago. And it was at that camp meeting that I said, God, whatever you want in my life. I made that decision as a teenager, but I didn't follow through on that decision immediately. It took some time. It was a process that I had to go through. I can remember I was at Highview Baptist Church in Akron, Ohio, and a lady walked up to me one night. I was about 19, 20 years of age. And she said, Chuck, have you ever considered becoming a pastor like your dad? I can still remember that. And that was actually Mrs. Jackson, Paul Jackson's mother, that said that to me. You know, afterwards, the process of learning, I remember going out with my friends that night, and we talked about it and joked about it, but that day, that evening, caught my attention. I can still remember as God was working in my life that through her one comment in my life that Sunday night, that it pricked my heart. And the commitment that I had made as a teenager, in my later teenage years, I realized that's what God wanted in my life, and I followed after the Lord. I just want to encourage you today, God could be doing that in your life right now. And I just want to tell you this, God wants to use you. He has gifted you with what you need to be effective in His ministry, wherever it may be. And He wants to use you. Be willing. Be open. That goes for junior high students, high school students, college age, seminary students, moms and dads. That's true of middle age. That is even true of senior adults. We still have opportunity to serve the Lord. And I just want to encourage you to think through that as we are encouraged from the Word. Christian, take the long view. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12. I want to share with you a couple of verses that have meant a lot to me that were used in the process of me determining that God had a plan for my life. And I keep on using the word process. Let me tell you something. It is a process. It is a lifelong journey. It was also the verses that God used in my wife's life to challenge her to ministry, to be willing to do what God wanted. And it was something in the process of learning the passage and beginning to put it to practice in my life that gave me that heart's desire. So if you look with me at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, You will see with me, and I think we could put that on the screen. That would be great too. Thank you so much. Romans 12, 1 and 2. The writer says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's a passage of scripture that many of you know. You have probably put it to memory. You know exactly what it has to say, but it goes into detail to remind us of who we are before God and the reminder of what God wants to do in our lives. Again, in this whole process of understanding God's will for us, it's not one time, but it is day by day. God does not reveal his will to us at one period and say, this is it. But as you know and you have experienced in your life, through the tests of life, through the determination of life, as we go through life itself, God continues to daily reveal to us what he wants. Oh, I know there's passages of scripture that tell us exactly what his will is. But when it comes to our personal lives, God is working step by step. Aren't you thankful for that today? If God gave it to us all at once, here it is, boom, I don't think most of us could handle it. But God knows exactly what we need. And he tells us step by step how to do that. And this is what he tells us. He says, I'm appealing to you. I'm beseeching you. I'm begging you. I'm coming to you. I'm coming alongside. And I just want you to understand something. As we see that word therefore, it takes us back to verse 36, the last part of the verse, because the emphasis is there. It is what we need to be doing in our lives. And it says this, to him be the glory forever. Amen. I want you to notice the eternality of that statement. And so as we begin to look at chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, we begin to understand together that God is in this for the long time, the long haul. It's a long view. It's not something that just happens once and it's gone. He's saying to us that our lives, our purpose for being here is to bring glory to God. How long? Forever. I'll tell you something, that just challenges our hearts, is that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die upon that cross for us, to pay the price in full, to be buried, to rise again. He loved us so much that when he saved us, he sent us the Holy Spirit who indwells our lives. He's changed our lives through the word that he's given us. He loves us so much that he's coming back to be with us, so that we can go to heaven to be with him. How long? Forever. I'll tell you, it's eternal. It's all about God. It's all about what he wants in our lives. And we just realize that when it comes to you and me, that's what he wants. That we bring glory to him. And that's not just for now. It's not just today. It's not just tomorrow. But it is throughout our whole lives. And then even into eternity. So God is really working. He's probably working in your life this morning, speaking to you through his word, just to say, listen, be open, listen, respond. This is for you. And I've committed myself, God's telling us, throughout all eternity. And you have the opportunity to bring glory to me. I'm appealing to you, brothers, believers, by the mercies of God, simply stated, the graces of God, the mercy of God, all that he is within himself, All that's available through the mercy and grace of God is available. And he's saying, I'm speaking to you right from my heart. This is God's word to you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. To present, it's really a one-time action that he's saying to you, give yourself to God. The interesting thing is that when we respond in faith to Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within our lives. And I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we've been bought with a price, that we're not our own, that literally God owns our bodies already. It's his temple, it's where God dwells. Isn't it amazing to realize that God's here right now? And he's true. If you're a believer today, he's true of your life. And God already has residence in your life through the Holy Spirit. That just amazes me. It's true of our lives. But now he says, you present your body as a living sacrifice. What does he mean? Living sacrifice, there was two recorded in Scripture. Do you remember who they are? Isaac and Abraham? A living sacrifice? God had greater plans? God always provides? The second one was Jesus. Yes, he died. He was buried, but what did he do? He arose again. He's that perfect sacrifice that is alive today. And God calls upon us as we live this life to be determined to understand that when it comes to our bodies, when it comes to our purposes in life, that God has the rights, and he says to you and me, give it all. Don't hold back. Give it all. You present your body as a living sacrifice for God's purposes. What a privilege that God would want that from me. And I can give it to him. I just want to encourage you, don't play games with God. He has the best in mind for you. He's not going to hold you back. He's going to give you such great opportunities, but it comes to the place as an individual, I just say, God, I'm yours to use. Use me. That I do it with a right heart. That I do it as one who understands that I've been set apart to God for his purposes. And as he tells us in the verse, he says, which is actually your spiritual worship. What does God want? He doesn't want sacrifices that are hypocritical. He wants sacrifices that are meaningful, that come right from the heart, that says, God, I'm laying it on the line. It is all about you. And I present my body to you today. I present my life to you because you deserve it. You've changed my life. You've given me life now, life eternal, and that's what I do. It's for you, God. Have you ever said that before? Have you ever just came to the place in your life that you said, God, I'm going to lay it right before you. This is where it's at. So that's what God wants. Oh, we can sit back and say, that's good for Bob, or that's good for Larry, that's good for Sherry, or whatever it is. But God is speaking to you this morning. He's saying it's about your life. I gave my life for you. And he asks us today to respond. He asks us not just to take it in, but to give it out, to pass it on. He says this in the verse, do not be conformed to the world. The world we're talking about is it's the realm, it's where the whole sphere of where Satan's philosophies are, the system that operates today. He says, don't be conformed. What does that word conform mean? It just simply means this. Don't be squeezed in a mold based upon outside pressures. so often we're pressured by the world system. Everybody's doing it. I want to be involved in that. And as a result, this outside pressure influences our life. We make decisions that aren't honoring to God. We make decisions that act like the world. And God just says in His Word, don't do that. He just simply says to us, knock it off. It's not where you're supposed to be. Remember who you are? You're a child of God. You've been set apart for my purposes. You've given your life to me. Don't be conformed to the world, but in turn be transformed. That word transform means that what's within us comes out. It's a new power source that is working through our lives. And it says that it comes by the renewal of our mind. How is our mind renewed? It happens through the Word of God. I tell you, we got to spend time in the Word. We need renewal all the time. So many things bombard us on the outside. It's so easy for us to get caught up into philosophy. So easy for get caught up into the styles of the world. And God just says, listen, stop it. Get back to me. I've got in my Word exactly what you need. It is for you. It'll change your life. It'll motivate you. It'll challenge you. He says, don't be conformed, but be transformed through the renewal of the Word and by the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful the Holy Spirit lives within me. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture, and He knows exactly what it says, and He continues to teach me. He continues to illuminate my mind and heart so that I'd step back and say, wow, God, I'm so thankful that You're at work in my life. It's within me. And may the world around me see who You are through my life. You know, that same word is used in the Scripture in Matthew chapter 17, where it talks about the transfiguration of Jesus. You know that passage quite well, I'm sure, where the glory of God was shown. It was a special time, and God just said at that time, He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to what He has to say. So I'm just reminded today that that same word is used in this Scripture about being transformed by the renewal of your mind, that God is saying, listen, let the power within you be evident on the outside, because the world needs to see true believers who live and breathe and act like people who love the Lord and are committed to what He wants for their lives. I'll tell you, that's exciting Scripture. He says, be renewed, be transformed. You've got a new power source. And then He says this, that by testing, do you like to be tested? The issues of life come so quickly. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you heard about my test when I was a pastoring in Iowa, what I went through and how difficult that was and how I left the ministry for 3 months. And I just found this to be true, that God's faithful and that He had a plan. I just didn't sit back and say, oh, woe is me. I guess it's over. But He had a plan. And He had an exact church that was just 2 miles from where I was living at that time. And the door opened and God gave us a fruitful 9 years of ministry. But we go through tests in life. I don't know what the test is in your life right now. You may be going through a real trial. You may be going through a time of just evaluating what life is all about. You may be going through a difficult time in school or at work or at home or whatever it is. I just want you to know something. God is faithful. And the tests of life are not meant to harm you or destroy you, but the tests of life are there to help you. What do we need help in? What's the passage say? It says, so that we might discern. We might see through life's testing and through the changing of the Word of God in our life and the Spirit of God at work, we might discern what is the will of God. See, God just doesn't say to you, that's it. He just says, I want you to know something. You've got to commit to me. got to say, yes, I'm available. You have to let the power of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God work through your life. And as you go through tests, you realize, I'm not alone. But God's faithful. God's faithful. And that He won't give you more than you can handle. But He will, through all of that, as the Scripture teaches us, help us to find in a step-by-step process what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Won't come all at once, step by step, but you'll know when God's at work, it's good, it's good. He'll tell us that He tells us it'll be acceptable to Him. You'll know as you keep walking that God's involved with this, because what is happening, it's not because of me, it's all because of Him. And then He says it's perfect or it's complete. He'll give you exactly what you need at the right time to perform His will. So let's just think for a moment. What's it mean to us today? It's a missions conference. It's a missions conference. What does it mean when God just says to us, I want to direct you? Give your life. Your life is all about exalting Jesus Christ. Your life is all about bringing glory to Him. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but it is a lifestyle that happens throughout all life, and the real picture is it happens even into eternity. What do we do with that? Is God speaking to your life today about ministry? I talked about needing 14 pastors right now. I realize you can't fill the bill today. But in time, could God direct you to become a pastor in one of our churches and be faithful in the ministry? Do you believe that could happen? I do. I do. I may be looking out here right now and seeing some of these men who are here, who are seeking what God wants for their life. You just need to be encouraged. Maybe you need a Mrs. Jackson in your life to come into your life and say, hey, have you thought about going into pastoral ministry? Moms and dads, church members, would you become Mrs. Jackson? And you see in a person's life the qualities of being a pastor, would you talk to them and say, I see something in your life? Would you do that? What about missions? Let me go back to pastoring just a minute. You realize what's happening today? In the last 6 years, we've had 28 pastors retire in the last 6 years. One of your pastors did that. 28 pastors. We need you. We need to have you see the call. When it comes to missions, I think of the Shears. Faithful in ministry on the home front for many years. And then God led them full time to serve overseas. How did that happen? The right people said, you should be there. I wonder, are there men and women that are present today, no matter what your age is, who have been called by God and have just never said yes, will you be willing to do what God wants for your life? If God directs you to missions, would you do that? Would you be open and available for that? We need you. Mission agencies are losing missionaries. Why is that? They're retiring. They're coming home. We need new missionaries to come up, no matter what the age is, to fill the gap, because there's ministry all around this world. Would you be willing to say yes to God if God's directing you to full-time ministry around this world as a missionary? I pray that you will. But then thirdly, that will most captivate most of our attention is this. What about if God leaves me here in the United States? He doesn't call me to ministry. What do? I just want to say this. Matthew chapter 28 is still there, verses 19 and 20, where it says, go and make disciples. The going is not saying you've got to go to the Central African Republic or you've got to go to Bangladesh. The going is simply this. As you are going, make disciples. Make more disciples and make better disciples. As you go, as you're living this life in the year 2023, be willing to go. Go to the store, go to the gas station, wherever it is, and share your life. Transformed by the power of God. What's within comes out. You know, I always find this to be true, that that God always opens doors to share. Always opportunities. May God use us for His glory. Christian, take the long view. Remember, we're in this literally forever. God doesn't call you for a short-term ministry. He calls you for a lifetime ministry. And we have to realize that together, that God will use us to His glory because it's His work, and He's brought us together for that purpose. Praise God today. I'm thankful that Romans 12, 1 and 2 is still in the book and simply challenges our lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to rehearse your truth. Thank you that your truth is your word. It is exactly what we need. Thank you that the word of God directs us to the living word, Jesus Christ. Thank you that the gospel is so clear, it's so relevant, it is exactly what we need. Father, may you work amongst us today. Help us not just to sit back, but may we respond to you today. May we simply do that right where we're sitting. May we just say, God, I'm willing, I'm available. I just want what you want. I don't want to live idly by. Whatever you want for my life, whether it be to stay at home or whether it be involved in some kind of ministry or pastoral ministry or missions or just to be a faithful servant of yours, use me. Help me not to shirk my responsibility. But may I remember, you've given me life and you've given me opportunity to serve you with all my heart and life. To you be the glory. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.